Please turn with me to Isaiah 52, looking at the gospel in the Old Testament. Maybe as clear of a passage on the gospel as we have in either testament. Isaiah 52, he was pierced for our transgressions, and went to read through Isaiah 53. Isaiah 52, verse 13 says, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and he shall be exalted. As many as were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, his form beyond that of children of mankind." And so as Jesus went to the cross, and this is 700 years before Christ, but as Isaiah shows what's going to happen to our Lord Jesus, he prophesies that Jesus is going to be marred in a terrible fashion, beyond that of what anyone had seen. So, verse 15, "Shall he sprinkle many nations? Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us?" Really, the gospel. Who has heard this message? Who would believe this, that this is really the way it would be? "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him." It's an amazing thing that Christ physically wasn't anything to look at. It wasn't his looks that made him attractive. It was who he was, the Son of God. Verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief." I thought this week, if you are going through trials of any kind, and I'm certain that you are, the Lord Jesus can relate. He went through more than any of us, and yet did not open his mouth, did not complain, did not go through all the things that we're tempted to do. So go to him. Go to him. Cast your cares on him. He knows. He has been through much more than us. "And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." I heard Sproul talk about men hide their faces. They, from Christ, it was as if he wasn't important enough to acknowledge. It was that they had just turned aside from him as if he was nothing, nothing important, nothing at all. And yet he was most important. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." You see what he went through, but it was always for us. It was so that we could have peace. It was so that we could be healed. "He was crushed. He was pierced. He was smitten. He was chastised." There was double imputation here. What was credited to us was all of Jesus' righteousness, but all that we deserve, because the wages of sin is death, Jesus took it. It was credited to him all of our sin, while we got all that he deserved. An amazing thing. Look at verse 6. And as Mark talks about sheep from John 10, and Jesus being the great shepherd, we see that we are described here as sheep. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Sproul said this is really a summary of the human condition. Like Frank Sinatra, "I'll do it my way," right? And the world celebrates that. And yet, that is our biggest problem. We go our way, and that's the way sheep are. Sheep have all gone astray. We have turned every one of us. I found that interesting, those two words. Every one of us, we've turned to our own way. "And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. So in a completely different way, Jesus as the sheep is a symbol for Jesus too, in that he didn't open his mouth. I think about how much we complain about things that are probably even our fault. And then certainly if we were accused unjustly, we would not at all be happy. And yet Jesus was most unjustly accused and yet did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. And so he was humiliated, he was humbled, but then he became exalted. And Sproul pointed out that was in the grave. It wasn't just after the resurrection. In the grave already, where most people who were crucified would have been not buried at all, just thrown out of the city, he was buried in the rich man's grave. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. There's the resurrection. He shall see his offspring, even though he's going to die. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. So not only did he take our sin, but he imputed all of his righteousness to our account. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his sin to death, his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressor. As we go before him to confess our sin, let's think of especially 4-6 there, where it was for our transgressions that he was pierced. He was crushed for our iniquity. He was chastised that brought us peace. And because of his wounds, we are healed. Let's confess how much like sheep we really are, wanting to go our own way, and rejoice in the gospel and what the Lord has done before Ian comes to lead us in the song after confession. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I think we would admit today that all of us oftentimes want to go our own way. And that way isn't always the way of Scripture, the way that you have taught us. And we confess that before you. Father, our heart is deceitful above all things. And we have oftentimes been conned into believing the lies instead of the truth of your word. Thank you that you sanctify us by truth, and your word is truth. And as we hear the truth today, as Mark preaches, we pray that we would come under the submission of the great shepherd, and that we would see how Satan has came to steal and kill and destroy, but the Lord Jesus has come to give us life and come to give it to us more abundantly. We see, Lord, that it was due to our transgressions and our iniquity that you sent the Lord Jesus, that you crushed the Lord Jesus so that we could be healed and so that we could have peace with you, that we would be justified, declared righteous, as sinful as we are. So, Lord, that kind of forgiveness and that kind of grace and that kind of mercy is more than we can really even fathom. But we rejoice in it today, that even though we deserve it, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I pray as we sing and as we ponder this tremendous truth, that we would realize our condition apart from Christ, and then we would even further realize our condition and our position now that we know the Lord Jesus. We commit this rest of this service to you and our time of communion to you, and we pray that you'd be glorified by the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. In Jesus' name.